This is Windy City Sports Talk, the podcast.
A show that features all the latest news, in-depth analysis, as well as compelling conversation for the Chicago Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Bulls.
This is what Bulls basketball is all about.
Blackhawks.
That's hockey, baby.
Cubs.
Quiet. The Cubs win the World Series.
And the White Sox. Windy City Sports is on the air. And now here's your host, Will Hatzel.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Windy City Sports Talk. This might be the greatest one that I've done in a while. We got a lot of hot topics today. Got a lot of got a couple of Justin Fields supporters as guests on this podcast that you've heard before. It's going to be a simple yet very complex podcast that basically two main focuses of area here, talking about that Fields trade and the Bears assumingly taking a quarterback with the number one pick, more than likely Caleb Williams, and also just the free agency in general, you know, what this offseason's been like for the Bears with the moves and the acquisitions that have been made. So it's all Bears on this episode today. And again, two familiar voices that you have heard on this podcast already, Jared and Skyler, good friends of mine, also fellow Bears fans. We're going to be a little bit differing of opinion today, and that's totally fine. That's what makes for a great sports talk and a great, sports podcast. So Jared, Skyler, how are you guys doing?
I am sad, Will. I have not seen the sun since, what was it, Saturday? St. Patrick's Day?
When you left the group chat?
Yeah.
When you left the group chat?
I don't even care about the NFL. I don't know why I'm here. But we are here because everything is just sadness and darkness, Will.
Yeah, this last week has been interesting. I think it's been there's been some highs and there's been some lows for all kinds of Bears fans out there.
I can't believe it. I'm surprised. It's an exciting. The future appears to be exciting. It's refreshing. You know, there's a couple things to look forward here to. Bears finally had an off season that kind of focused on offense, and it would appear that they're not going to stand for mediocre to average quarterback play anymore.
Mm-mm. Dang, just like that.
We're just, you know, and that
Justin Fields breathe.
Well, so basically, this is going to be like the dividing line is I am basically for the Caleb Williams, you know, drafting and getting rid of Fields. And I know I kind of flipped the switch when I brought this podcast back to life at the beginning of the year. I was actually for Fields. I was entertaining that idea of keeping him, but just doing my research, watching highlights and just hearing other discussions and, you know, analysis about these different quarterbacks and what the Bears could do with another quarterback or the acquisitions they could make. And then what they did start to make before they traded him. So I'm on that side. I know you and Skyler are more on the other side of things, you know, thinking we should have kept Justin, and there's valid reasons for both. So I figured that would be the first part of the podcast here, and we'll tie in some of the other signings and moves and just have a general discussion of, you know, free agency and where they go in the draft. So I'll open up the floor to you guys first. You guys plead your case to me as to why Justin Fields should still be here and should be the quarterback of the Bears going into next season.
It's as simple as, do you want a complete team? I can't really remember a time where the Bears had a complete team, both on the offensive, defensive side, and coaching as well. And especially with the trade that happened with the Chargers with Keenan Allen, where we gave up a fourth rounder and we were left with four picks for this year's draft, I was almost certain Ryan Poles was going to trade down from the one to get some more picks and just build around Justin Fields. Like, you're finally getting offensive weapons. You got him an OC that can show that they can run a fast paced offense and develop. I understand the arguments of like what we've seen from Justin Fields, but my biggest argument with that is there has just been no consistency or help for Justin Fields. And I'll leave it at that. Let Skyler go ahead and chime in.
Yeah, I think, first off, I want to let it be known, I'm definitely more on the Justin Fields end of things, but I am still kind of in the middle, I guess. I've definitely kind of I guess I've like become more accepting of the fact that we're going to be drafting a quarterback. But I'm definitely, obviously, yeah, I'm definitely more on the Justin Fields side of things. And I think here's the most frustrating thing. It makes sense from certain points of view to move on from Justin. But here's the thing. I would be shocked if we've seen Justin Fields' ceiling in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely not. It's not even been touched.
He's still such a raw talent, in my opinion, and he's had such bad teams around him, obviously on the offensive side mostly, because that's how the Bears have always gone about things. We've always struggled on the offensive side, even when you don't expect the defense to be good, they somehow end up being pretty solid.
Or at least better than the offense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Usually a lot better than the offense, but I think that's the most disappointing thing. It's like, going into this next season, you know, we were finally starting to focus more on the offensive side of the ball, you know, and we still have time left in the offseason. Like, there's still plenty of time for moves to be made. Jared, like you said, there was a chance, you know, there could have been a chance for us to trade back from the number one spot. Obviously, it sounds like that's probably not going to happen at this point, which, yeah. I mean, if you've moved on from Justin, you got to stay at one. Because if they moved on from Justin and they want to trade down, I'm not going to be very happy about that.
Let me ask you this question real quick. Both Will and Skyler, what if the Bears traded down from the one to the two just to draft Drake May and give the Commanders Caleb Williams?
I would not be a fan of that, of course, but I also do not see that happening because Ryan Poles, you know, he's getting lit up a lot lately, as you know, people like to remind everybody about how he gave up a second rounder for Chase Claypool. And I know that trade didn't work out. He got a little over aggressive there. He tried to take a flyer on somebody that mostly I blame Chase Claypool. He had every opportunity to be a number two right next to DJ Moore. And
I thought we got our next stud wide receiver right there.
Right. Like, he needed a fresh start, and for whatever reason, just was acting a clown or something, not being professional, not doing his work to, you know, okay, I'll give him a pass last year for luring a new offense on the fly, trying to get adjusted. It also was a bad team last year, a bad offense. Whatever happened in training camp that was already leading to speculation that he would get traded even before the season started. Again, it doesn't look great on Ryan Poles' resume, but it's like the one blemish on his resume. I trust Poles. I don't see him doing anything like that. At this point, I think they're going to double down and stay at one. And I personally think it's Williams. I know Drake May is probably a close second, but I think in terms of talent amongst the prospects, the prospect quarterbacks, Caleb Williams is number one.
Well, I just want to say, you better be praying to God that the Bears draft Caleb Williams, because you've done a lot of talking about Caleb Williams, and rightfully so. Obviously he's the number one. He should be the number one guy that goes
to be drafted. Yes.
But here's the thing, as Bears fans, we know that they are the one franchise that would be the one to not take Caleb Williams when he's right there.
And take Mitch Trubisky, who's only started 10 games out of North Carolina.
I can't wait until we're able to draft Mitchell Trubisky Jr., hopefully. That's going to be my favorite day.
Yeah, that will be concerning if it happens. And look, I get it. Like, I understand it seems like it's unfair to Justin to be shipped off after they finally put an offense around him. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chicago Bears finally being an offensive-minded NFL football team. Because everyone's freaking out that in this offseason they didn't go super aggressive in getting wide receivers, or everybody's panicking because we still need an edge rusher opposite of Montez Sweat. I get it. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an offensive-minded coaching staff now. This is an offensive-minded front office. And I know people are going to scratch their head and be like, well, why would you get rid of Justin then? Guys, I'm tired of averaging less than 200 passing yards a game. I'm tired of multiple interceptions. I'm tired of the fumbles, the multiple turnovers, I should say. I'm tired of watching this team. I love Justin and his legs. I love the ability to run. He was the most entertaining player since Devin Hester to watch on the field at Soldier Field anytime I went to a game. I'll admit that. However, I want to see a quarterback that succeeds in what matters and what wins championships. And that's being a Patrick Mahomes kind of quarterback, actually being able to throw the ball, to read defenses, to be able to do a quick 3 to 5 step drop back, scan the field once and boom, pick your target and be accurate. I'm tired of, we talk about Fields not getting a chance. There were times where he had a chance. His career day against Denver early in the season, throws 4 touchdowns. He's on fire, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden he fumbles the ball. It becomes a scoop and score to get them back into the game. You know, Russell Wilson cooks up his magic. And then the last drive of the game, when the game's on the line, Fields throws a questionable pass, makes a questionable decision, and it turns into an interception. The Monday night game against Minnesota in Minnesota, the defense got 4 picks off of Dobbs. Then they held them to, a couple of field goals as well. That was like a classic Bears defensive game. And what is Fields doing in the second half? Coughing up the ball again with a couple of fumbles. So there were times where it's like, okay, Justin, finish the comeback or bounce back from allowing a comeback to happen and win the game. We didn't see those things. Again, it's real easy to put a Justin Fields highlight tape on, and we could look at the Denver game with the 4 touchdowns and the Washington game with 3, you know, the hat trick, the DJ Moore. But you notice how there's only a few of those games that the show highlights of him passing. Everything is running around like crazy, and I loved his running ability 2 seasons ago. He's an athlete. There's no denying his talent. But the arm strength, the accuracy, and those mental fundamentals of a quarterback, he's lacking compared to guys like Mahomes. That's where I stand on it.
I mean, theoretically, isn't everyone lacking in comparison to Patrick Mahomes? Let's be honest.
Yeah, but guys still get it done. And yeah, I know there's not, like, it's not like we could sit here and say, like, well, in the last 20 years, there's been like 15 different quarterbacks that have won. It's the top of the top. Yeah, exactly. Really? But so then why wouldn't we look to draft somebody that could potentially be that? Why do we want to stick with mid?
So is that Caleb Williams' bar? If he does not reach that, he's a bust.
No, not necessarily. I mean, I'm not putting crazy expectations on him, but I don't know why people have this isn't me just like going after you guys. This is other Bears fans too, of like, why are we afraid to be aggressive and pick a quarterback at 1? Why are we afraid to make the attempt to get better and get a quarterback that's more accustomed to the success you have in this league, and that's being a good passer? Hey, you can look at Caleb Williams' stats. You know, yeah, he doesn't put up thousands of rushing yards, but the dude had 11 rushing touchdowns this past season, 10 the season before. In 2021, he had 6. So this guy's got, you know, almost 30 touchdowns or so rushing with the ball. He's got 300 or 400 rushing yards on a couple of his seasons. And again, that's all you need. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. He had 6 carries for 66 yards in the Super Bowl. Hey, guess what? That doesn't sound like or 9 carries, I should say, for 66 yards. That's not a big, sexy rushing statistic, you know, day, right? But guess what? The guy made those plays impactful is at the end of the game when he needed to lead his team down the field and score touchdowns and lead scoring drives and put the dagger in the back of the 49ers. He was able to read the play, quickly think on what's happening. He had the escape Bosa, or, you know, whatever pocket was collapsing. He made those plays, whether he was doing his crazy acrobatic throws or running with his legs. Not a mobile quarterback, but made the plays when it mattered, because mentally he has it. Mentally he's sound. I'm not calling Justin dumb. I'm just saying he seems to be slower with reading defenses and making audibles and making adjustments. And even when he's in that pocket, there's times we see him zigzagging back and forth, and he's not making the decision to just run or throw the ball. He was unsure of himself at times.
Right. And to your point of like, why are we so afraid of being aggressive and going for the quote unquote generational prospect that everyone thinks Caleb Williams is going to be in the NFL? I think people are just afraid of, like, we've seen what Justin, like the raw talent Justin Fields has displayed in those few moments, those few shining moments. And we can see what he can become and develop under the right environment, under the right system.
With a bad offense around him, keep in mind.
God, like, how can you be consistent when your receivers are dropping wide open passes every other time you get a passing play from Luke Getsy when it's not a screen pass? You have an offensive coordinator that doesn't know how to scheme around Justin Fields, keeps him in the pocket. He's a rolling quarterback. There was like maybe a few times throughout Justin Fields' career in the Bears tenure where like he there was design rollout plays, and that's when he kind of shined. That's where you can see it was just easy for Justin to make that quick decision. I do admit he does hold the ball way too long, and because I think he's just afraid of making that mistake and further criticizing his. But that's of course speculation that he needs to ignore as a quarterback, as a professional in the NFL. But
also, here's another thing too. Like, it's, you know, I don't claim that I'm an expert or anything when it comes to football or sports in general. You know, I'm not a coach, I'm not a professional athlete, but if there's any proof that I think we could all see that of what the league thinks of Justin, you saw it this offseason. Mac Jones gets traded to become a backup quarterback. The Patriots didn't trade for Justin. There looks like they're going to draft somebody with their pick. Kirk Cousins, with being a middle-aged 30-year-old quarterback at this point and having that bum Achilles, got a crap ton of money.
Okay. You can't compare the GOAT Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, I don't know how he does it. Every time it's time to get paid, that man gets
overrated,
paid three times.
But good enough. But again, and what did we say on the podcast that I had you guys on? I had you guys on at separate times, but we did talk about, like, oh, if Justin gets traded, or where's an ideal fit for him outside of Chicago? We're all talking Atlanta, because he's from there, because it's a young team that nobody took a flyer on Fields to be like, hey, we think this guy, let's give him a chance, because if he develops here or pans out, he could be our quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years. Nobody did that. People traded for Sam freaking Howell. People signed Gardner Minshew to be their quarterback for this year for a bridge quarterback. I'm talking the Seahawks and the Raiders. I'm talking, because people want to say that, oh, well, you know, Ryan Poles was asking for too much. He's a freaking general manager of the team. He needs to get the best deal possible. So if he started by floating or a second or third rounder, there's nothing wrong with that. But then I guess, and I'm actually surprised nobody did pick him up sooner or actually was willing to give more. And some people say, oh, well, if you pick up that option, that's like 20 plus million. Okay, well, having a decent quarterback, if you're confident in him and paying him 20 million for two seasons, 20 plus million for two seasons, that's not bad. And this supposed raw talent that he has, then how come nobody picked him up? Atlanta's risking having an old quarterback while they're trying to enter their prime right now with their young team.
To be fair, Ryan Poles was like bypassing offers from teams Justin Fields didn't want to go to. And it was the Steelers and I think the Falcons. But again, I think that was too much of an asking price for the Falcons. I think he wanted a fourth.
Yeah, it went from being like a second rounder to maybe he could get like a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
The sixth round pick did surprise people. And pretty return.
I think it was just to do Fields the favor of like trying to put him in a right situation, because under Mike Tomlin and learning from Russell Wilson, that's the kind of mentorship that he never really got throughout his career. He had Matt Nagy throw him into the fire his first year against Cleveland, the number one defense in the league at the time. Miles Garrett had like 5 sacks on him. And then the next year, Ryan Poole strips down the team to like nothing. Equamanius St. Brown and Dante Pettis was his receiving core. And then this year he finally gets DJ Moore, and it's a prove it year for Justin Fields. And I just don't think that's fair to blame him or fair to put that put that against like any of like his talent or what he can be.
I think bottom line is, and we all know it, even you know it, he wasn't set up for success in Chicago, which really sucks, because you know, as you guys know, and probably a lot of listeners know, I'm a big Ohio State fan, huge Ohio State guy, and I was a huge Fields fan. And to see him, you know, when I remember jumping up and down with our buddy Brooks, like when we drafted him, like I was so happy about that. And it, unfortunately, he really was just set up for failure with the Bears. That he was dealt a really shitty hand, and I really hope that he does well for the Steelers. One, obviously, because we will get a better pick out of it if he ends up playing more than half the
fourth round pick.
Yeah, you know, only a little bit better. So I guess it doesn't matter a whole lot. But also, I root for Justin Fields. He's a good dude to root for. I think he's a super fun player to watch. It sucks that he's not in Chicago anymore. But one thing I wanted to touch on, going back to, well, you asked the question earlier, why are we afraid to be aggressive, you know, especially when it comes to taking a quarterback first overall. Well, another answer for you is the fact that we've never been able to do it. The Bears have never historically been able to draft, develop, or coach quarterbacks. And yeah, obviously, you know, like something's got to give. Eventually that's got to change. But do I believe in Caleb Williams or any of these other guys to be that guy? I don't know if I do. I'm hoping that, well, first off, I'm hoping we go for Caleb Williams. But beyond that, I'm hoping that he is the guy. I don't know how much faith I have in him based on what I saw this past year at USC. I mean, especially against, I get it's college, but like you look at the game against Notre Dame.
That's a bad
game. I want to say I bet on him in that game, and that was probably one of the most frustrating bets I've ever lost because the dude looked like hell out there. He looked so bad. And I get Notre Dame's got a great defense, but like, hey, you're going to the NFL where they're going to, every single defense is going to be five times as good as Notre Dame's defense, and it's going to be hard to read. I'm rooting for the guy. I hope that we draft him over everyone else, but I don't know how much faith I have in him being the guy.
I'm just having a hard time seeing like what that much different Caleb Williams out. I know what you can argue is like read defense and being able to find open receivers, but like much more different as a prospect talent wise than Justin Fields, to where you don't try to get a haul from that number one pick and use all that draft capital to build around Fields and build almost like the super team like the 49ers have or the Lions is currently building right now.
Well, see, you want to know what I like? You want to know why I like this move? Is because like what do I see with Caleb Williams? I see a guy that literally the worst game of his season last year, and I know their season as a team kind of spiraled out of control at the end of the year where they lost like five out of, you know, their last five out of six games. Wasn't really all him, even with having to play hero ball and stuff. I mean, they lost to Washington in a shootout. They lost to Oregon in a shootout. I mean, hey, it's great to see an offense put up, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 points a freaking game every single week. You know, he's putting up at least 250 passing yards or more. He had quite a few games with 300 plus yards, you know, a game against Colorado where he threw six touchdowns and, you know, for 300 or 403 passing yards, you know, when Colorado and Deion Sanders was the talk of the country. You know,
yeah, but their defense wasn't good still. Like they had to outscore.
True, opponents. But like I get excited when, and I know college is all about offense and not too much about defense. The elite defensive play truly does come into the NFL. So yeah, he will have to adjust to that like anybody else, like any other quarterback. Again, everybody likes to highlight the Notre Dame game. And of course, he played poorly, but that's the only game he threw under 200 passing yards. It's one of only three games where he threw an interception or more. He threw three in that game, but he had a total of five last year. So the guy takes care of the football. His rating and his QBR is always pretty good. Again, outside of that Notre Dame game, the worst game, but like we're
conveniently, that's when I bet on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, well, don't when he, if he gets drafted to the Bears, please don't bet on him. Let's just play it safe.
I'm gonna take this year off.
It's just like when the Bulls were good with Lonzo Ball, we couldn't beat the good teams, but
don't
we were dominating
that
against.
Name.
I know.
Also, hey, how about a quarterback that could throw for over 3,000 yards in a season and maybe even 4,000? You know, we talk about Notre Dame game. How about we talk about 2022 when he had 42 touchdowns and 4,500 passing yards? Like, everybody's getting stuck on this one Notre Dame game, and it's like, who cares?
Well, keep in mind, 2024 now. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but even last year, 3,600 passing yards, 30 touchdowns. I mean, do you want me to go back and read Justin's stats? I mean, wow, we didn't even eclipse 20 touchdowns or, you know.
Well, okay, let's talk about Justin's Ohio State numbers. Let's talk about that. If
that
we're going to talk about college.
Game against the college in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But okay,
it's not panning out for Justin. It could, nobody's saying that Caleb Williams, last thing I'll say, sorry, as I start the rant, Caleb, no one's saying he's a surefire Hall of Famer next Tom Brady, but you have the opportunity to go after a prospect that has a legitimate amount of potential, that the ceiling is there. or you don't know how high that ceiling is. Hopefully it's high up enough to where he could reach for the stars and do as much as possible. But like I said, I wouldn't be afraid of doing it. I wouldn't be afraid of, you know, we're going to ruin it again. This is different coaching staff, different front office. I don't think I get why us Bears fans are down in the dumps and we sit here and say, oh, well, how are we going to screw this up again? Historically, we're not great at it, but I don't want to sit here and just go with Justin or pick up Gardner Minshew for a couple of years. I want to attempt to go after greatness, and maybe Caleb is that. You don't get the first overall pick in the draft that often, unless you're a really bad team. And it, you know, the Bears haven't been as bad as a few of the other teams.
Yeah.
So the stars aligned in a way that unfortunately doesn't work out for Justin. If they had the 15th pick in the draft or higher or lower, they would not be going after a quarterback. But since they're in a unique position, which, by the way, good, you know, polls cooking. I know it was Carolina having the suck to get us that pick, but I'm just saying, polls made some moves to help us get into a good position to have two top 10 picks. Use them, or at least use one of them, and then I'm fine if you move back from 9 and get more picks, because you need to have more than 4 picks in this draft.
It was all thanks to Lovie Smith, actually.
Our Lord and Savior, Lovie. Shout out to him, too.
Bears. Yeah, everyone say your goodnight prayers to Lovie Smith before bed tonight.
Dedicated but to them.
The one thing I'll say in defense of Caleb Williams, obviously his defense this past year at USC was atrocious. I don't mean to sit here and just, you know, and say, oh, Caleb Williams, see, they only were 8-5 or what, you know, whatever they ended up being. I'm not trying to be hard on Caleb Williams. I mean, it frustrates me seeing, like, because I do feel like there's a lot of Bears fans that are talking like he's going to be the next Tom Brady. And it's like, I guess my only way of combating that is like overcorrecting and saying, well, like, look at this. But so at the end of the day, I have no ill will against Caleb Williams. I really hope he does well. I really hope he's the one we draft, because I don't even want to speak it into existence. I really hope we don't go with anyone else, but he's got to be the guy at this point.
If you trade Justin Fields just to draft Drake May, you should be fired on the spot.
Literally.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. People like what they see from Drake, but like I do kind of like the idea of taking. That's why even originally back in the day, I was a fan of Justin and being excited for him, is because there's proof there. He won big games. He has the statistics to prove it. You know, Drake May, it doesn't sound like the sexy pick or anything like that, but like another guy that 4,300 passing yards 2 years ago. Have something to love about 2022, but I'm just saying, like, there's some good stats there too. But
well, he'll have a shot on a better on a different team.
But his value is a later pick though. Yeah, like Caleb, he's been projected since last year to be the number one pick, and that hasn't really moved. And you know, the needle hasn't moved really towards anybody else. So
Colin,
I think they're gonna stay at Caleb.
Yeah, Colin Coward had Caleb Williams in his top 10, or in his, like, at the top of his NFL quarterback pyramid, like, last year. So I remember watching it, and he put Caleb Williams at the top, and he was still in college. He was still in USC.
See, that's the stuff that I don't get. See, that's see something from it. And that's why I'm not going to be too mad either way. You know, I'm not going to be, I can't get too upset about anything. I got to remind myself, we have to watch Caleb Williams play first, and then I'll go from there. That's why I've kind of like leveled out from, like, I was pretty upset the other day, but now I've kind of chilled out. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever happens, happens. We're going to see it pretty soon.
Trio of Marvin Harrison, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen.
That would have fed villages.
It would have fed families for generations. It was right there.
Well, you know, if you guys would like, you guys could go join the Justin Fields cult that's on Twitter because, you know, I know there's some psycho Bears fans, you know, talking all this stuff about Caleb, but the cult that's on Twitter for Justin Fields, people act like this dude won a Super Bowl or led this team to the playoffs, and it hasn't happened. In 3 years, he's won 10 games. And yes, there's legitimate defenses for him and counterpoints, but you know, we're photoshopping him as the King of the North dressed up as a character from Game of Thrones. You know, there's a petition. I saw it today, a petition for the Bears to put a number one commemorative patch on their jerseys this year to honor Justin.
That's crazy. But actually,
can we grow up already? Like,
how real is that?
Out, it sucks. Honest.
That would never happen. In I know a million
it's
years.
Stupid and silly, but these are people that engage and argue on Twitter all day, every day. I listen. I'm big with listening to sports talk radio in Chicago, ESPN 1000, 670 The Score, and the people that call in. And the delusion of, oh, the Hall is the best way to go. And, you know, Justin, he's somehow going to turn it around. And all of a sudden, he's going to be the perfect passer. History doesn't show that. You know, we talk about the history of the Bears not really making a great offense or developing a quarterback. Well, history also isn't great at showing that, hey, a guy could be in the league for 5 or 6 years and then all of a sudden turn into Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. It usually happens within those first couple of years or right away. So, and I'm just going to stick on that last point. My last point is sticking on what I said earlier. The NFL, the true people that know how to analyze talent and build the roster, build the team and schemes and all that stuff, yada, yada, yada. Nobody wanted Justin to be a starter, whether Fields or whether Poles asked for a lot in return or started changing his tune on that. The Seahawks wanted Sam Howell. People would rather trade for Mac Jones as their backup. People would rather get Gardner Minshew, and I'm screwing up names. I'm just saying, look at all the quarterbacks that went to different teams. Nobody wants Justin, who is supposedly a young, raw talent that deserves Ryan to Poles. Be around a better offense.
Ryan Poles was not about to sentence Justin Fields to Luke Getsy again in Las Vegas. He was never.
Yeah, that I never understood. Like, why are you going to?
I don't know why the media was
different
trying to pair
talent
them up.
Around there, but.
Yeah,
it's not. But let me ask you guys this, and of course I know this is all going to lead back to Caleb and Justin and whatnot. But like real talk, looking at the moves made in free agency, what did you guys think about that? You know, DeAndre Swift, they bring in another tight end, they bring in you know, obviously Keenan Allen is probably the flashiest thing they did outside of, you know, draft trading Justin. So like, thoughts on the weapons that they have here, even though it pains you to not see Justin use them.
I think these are perfectly calculated, like thoroughly thought out moves, like to go after DeAndre Swift instead of Saquon Barkley. You get Keenan Allen, you get another tight end, a strong tight end that could be a tight end one on another team as your tight end two for your offensive coordinator who likes to run two tight end sets. That is Shane Waldron. You saw that in Seattle a lot with Noah Fant and was it Will Disley? Is it still Will Disley in Seattle?
You know, I think he actually signed someplace else. I'll check that
out. It was Noah Fant. There was another tight end. And he had a pretty good year under Shane. And so I think Ryan Poles is doing right by his offensive coordinator, Shane, and not Luke Getsy, which I'm also okay with because that meant Luke Getsy gets out of town. But
thank God.
I love all the moves Ryan Poles has made, except for, of course, the one that shall not be named. But
the King of the North.
He is the King of the North. The AFC North.
Jared,
now.
Should I change the logo for Windy City Sports Talk? Put a little patch with the number one.
Please.
Bears colors. Just, you want me to do that?
Just for
I him. Refuse to believe there's anyone real out there that genuinely wants
well,
that
and
to
and
happen.
That's the thing.
It's
we
also
all know
Twitter.
That a place of psycho people, but I'm just saying it's just, and look, I was there, you know, at one point too with like, yeah, let's go Justin. And you know, the Twitter accounts of like Commander Justin or Captain Justin, whatever, like talking like he's like a Civil War.
Well,
cavalry
that all started
officer.
Because of the Andrew Luck one.
Yes. Yeah. And those are cool. Yeah.
Pay some homage to the OG.
Yes.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah. And those accounts are fun. But that, like I said, there's a cult out there. And they're going to come after me. They might attack me at home. Who knows? This might be the last freaking podcast because they're going to find where I live and beat down my door and come attack me. I'm a little bit worried. So if this is it,
I'm going to have to choose between you and my brethren, I guess. I think I'll still defend you, Will.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I will say something I have been seeing people say a lot of with now that the Fields trade is over with and now that the big, you know,
actually,
they made
Will,
their big moves.
I'm booking my flight to Italy right now to make sure Fields does not pass that physical right now. So just hang on.
Oh boy. Okay, great. You're going to, the cult is flying out to Italy now. Okay. Now I see what's going on here. A little league sabotage, but no, seriously. I like, again, with even I think that if there's one thing I'm assuming you guys would even admit that it's, I know it's a tough pill to swallow without Fields here, but this is a very, now a very ideal situation for a rookie quarterback to come into any team. It doesn't matter what the logo is on the helmet or what the history of the organization is. This is an ideal situation where you have two legitimate number one wide receivers. I mean, Keenan Allen's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, God, he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
He's our wide receiver
right now. Yeah.
How?
And I know he's older, and I know people are concerned about, you know, health, because at the beginning of his career, he had some health issues, had a couple injuries that forced him. But exactly, that's the thing. When he's on the field and healthy, and like maybe he could maybe help him stay healthier and not get injured, is maybe not that his production goes down in a bad way, but hey, with DJ Moore there, with a couple of tight ends and three workhorse running backs, Keenan Allen doesn't have to catch 100 passes next year. He really doesn't. He could still get yardage. He could still make plays, get his touchdowns. Maybe his production goes down a little bit to keep him, to be a little bit safer for him. But either way, like, again, and if you're bringing in a quarterback that's more of a passer, we're going to go back to the traditional style that still works, by the way, of being a pocket passer with a strong arm and hopefully having some accuracy. He's going to be able to get the ball. He's going to be able to connect with DJ and Keenan Allen. I do hope they can get another wide receiver. If Roma Dunze is there at nine, I'm taking him.
I think
if there's not a legit wide receiver, then I'm trading. Then I'm going to trade back and get
you don't
the
think
Hall,
they'll go
the
edge. Hall to do.
I again, depending on who trades, like if they do trade that ninth pick, I would hope that they don't go like way at the bottom of the first round. Like if they could get a pick no later than like 20. If they go back maybe, you know, 5 to 10 picks back so they could still get somebody.
The Steelers have the 20th pick. They're going to fleece us again.
Oh, all right. All right. Brian Poles
no
is never going to
no
live that Claypool trade down, huh? Well,
unless we're getting Mike Tomlin for a bag of chips, then I'll take
real.
It.
Just yeah, that would add be it nice, to the coaching actually. Staff.
But that's no, what I would do. I would get the wide receiver at nine or trade back and get the edge rusher. I mean, they do need to get an edge rusher. That it does hurt a little bit that they don't have somebody opposite of Montez Sweat. But
would
again, let's
like
see if Pulse
Young?
Has that.
I know Skyler might have, but would you have liked Chase Young?
That's actually what I was hoping for. I mean, I wanted Hunter. I wanted some of these other guys, even the other, his name slipping from my mind, but there's another edge rusher, pass rusher from Minnesota that went to the Panthers.
Daniel Hunter or no,
him and
not the Panthers.
I think he went to the Panthers. Yeah.
Daniel Hunter. No, he went to,
He went to Houston, but the other Vikings pass rusher went to the Panthers. He was supposed to go to Carolina and then visit the Bears. Carolina made sure he didn't leave out of contract. So that is the one glaring issue. But again, remember, we talk about the history of the Bears. They're historically, they're bad at offense. Well, they're great at defense. So maybe they don't necessarily need to prioritize defense nonstop. They finally broke that continuous cycle of repeating the same thing this year's offense.
Yeah, we still have a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
We don't need to add too much. And I agree with you. Oh, go ahead, Skyler. Sorry.
We talked about that a lot in a couple of previous podcasts. Like, defense really, things are looking up for the defense. Like, I feel like they kind of turned on a dime pretty quickly, like from looking pretty damn rough to, wow, we actually have a pretty solid defense. So, yeah, I might as well go all out with the offense. I say with that ninth pick, you go for a wide receiver. There's got to be a decent wide receiver left at that point with all the teams that are going to need a quarterback.
Go quarterback and
why not? Just go all out for the offense.
And there's go ahead. Sorry.
Set your rookie quarterback up for success and do him better than Justin Fields, because, man, he was given such a bad hand.
Yeah, that's why I say, like, I know it hurts, guys, but, like, let's give Poles time to cook, because I think he's doing it differently. This is better than he is. His mindset and the way he works, in my opinion, is the best that they've had in years. In my lifetime of being a Bears fan, the management that we had in here before, Phil Emery, Ryan Pace, Jerry Angelo, you know, the guys that have been here before, they might have made a couple splashy moves here and there. I mean, they did some good things, like drafting Alshon Jeffrey, signing Martellus Bennett, signing or trading for Brandon Marshall. But you got to put it all together, and I think Poles is doing that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's probably the best situation a rookie quarterback has ever probably got into. Like, it couldn't be easier to not feel like you have to do everything on your shoulders on a bad team surrounded by mediocre talent, and you're expected to make them shine right away. When this is your first time in the NFL, you don't know, you're still adjusting to playing against professionals and not the college speed. But I think we do either take a top wide receiver or we trade down, because our defense is pretty bulked up, even with losing Eddie Jackson, RIP, but he could not tackle to save his life. And we replace him with Kevin Byard. How do you guys feel about Kevin Byard, though?
I'm a fan.
Where did he come from? Forgive me for being
Philly.
Dumb.
But he did not have a good tenure in Philly. It was like 1 year.
They traded for him in the middle of the season to try to save that sinking ship. But no, he spent the rest of – I'm surprised you don't recognize him, because he was with Tennessee for a long time. He's mm-hmm. basically around the same age as Eddie. Yeah.
Yes.
He's the same age as Eddie, I think. But the difference is he's still playing at a high level. He still gets turnovers. He's a ball hawk. So this is a guy
tackle,
that could probably
get like Jared turned. Said. I mean, holy yeah. hell. The last, like, 3+ years with Eddie, it's just like – Can you tackle anything?
Wanted to do the Madden hit stick. He wanted to just put it lower his head and lower his shoulder and try to do the big hits, and he would get burned all the time because, I mean, he's not a big guy. Like, he can't lay a big hit on, you know, I'm trying to think of the biggest wide receivers in the league. He's not going to lay on a big hit on Justin like Jefferson or Mike Williams or Mike Evans. Yeah, no, just wrap up and tackle like they've been teaching you since Pop Warner, man. Like, come on. And, you know, like, you at least have to tackle. If you know, I understand it.
He's
not going to get 10 interceptions a season. But, yeah, when you're playing the safety position, I mean, I remember the start of the season 2 years ago against the Rams. I mean, you would have thought I was out there out of breath, not being able to catch up. And I'm getting burned by the third and fourth string wide receivers on, you know, the Rams. Jefferson. Like, really?
It was actually me out there.
Me and you, apparently. You know, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Bojack put on some weight this year, boys.
And I don't think he's signed anywhere. I do hope he gets another shot somewhere.
Still out there.
I hope he does. Yeah, because I still love the guy.
He seems like a cowboy.
I would hate that.
You want to talk about being mad at a team? That team has done nothing. They had guys retire. They let their best offensive lineman.
Well, not to mention they got
signed a 1 year
Dax
deal.
And
the Packers mopped the floor with them. I mean, that's embarrassing enough.
Yeah, Jordan Love, first time in the playoffs, no problem. Good night.
Jordan Love hung his nuts, man. He did not care about anything anyone said going into that game.
He was gunslinging out there. Yeah, that was
must be nice.
Well, Caleb Williams, we'll see. Maybe the battle of the NFC North might be great this year.
The Lions are good.
And actually, let's talk about that too. Like, just now seeing, and I know we still have the NFL drafts. So, like, you know, we'll come back here again weeks from now when the draft's done and over with, when we really know what the depth charts will look like for these teams. But the Vikings are going to be low on the totem pole, probably at the bottom, because they're going to have to try to draft somebody or move up or whatever. Like, right now, Sam. So I'm hearing speculation that they may try to trade way up to get closer, but they did draft to get a little bit higher and they got Houston's pick, but I think that's still in
the
20s.
JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. I'm glad with that predictions podcast, or we did the podcast on that, you know, NFC North when we did our predictions. I'm glad that we all put the Vikings last. I'm pretty sure. Not third, but I know I put them last. So they're a last place team. If I ever saw one, I'd be shocked. Even with a rookie quarterback, if the Bears ended up below them, honestly.
No, I mean, naturally, just off of the off seasons we've had, comparing. I mean, the Vikings had a pretty good offseason so far. It's just they lose Kirk Cousins. Justin Jefferson is like a question mark. Where does this team go? What's the direction? Is it Super Bowl? Is it the Super Bowl window, or are we developing and building for the future? I guess.
I hope it's not Super Bowl window, because I feel like they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Yeah, but
maybe I'm hating too much. I don't know.
No, I think it's.
I think you're being realistic, though. You're being real. Which
yeah, you
is
need
what
to make
need
Justin
to be.
Jefferson happy, or you trade him, and you build move on from there.
I don't think Vikings fans are going to be happy either way. I would not want to be a Vikings fan.
The stupid thing is that apparently the Vikings ownership, I think they don't like to give out a lot of guaranteed money, or like they have a limit to what they do with their contracts and the spending, which might be part of the reason why they lost out on Kirk. Maybe they didn't offer him as much as he wanted, but that's also the problem they're having with Jefferson. You know, he wants to be paid as the best receiver, the highest paid receiver in the NFL, because without a question, I would say he is. There's not many that come close. There's some in that realm that might be top five or whatever, but he is a tier level of himself.
Yeah,
exactly. But because, you know, the billionaires are going to have limits to what they spend on the best player that you could possibly have on your flipping team. Yeah. That's why he's supposedly getting pissed off and wants to leave. And I'm all for it. You want to pull a Ricketts family type shit in Minnesota? That's fine with me. You don't want to spend money on your good players or spend money on players in general? That's fine. I would love to see him out of the freaking league. So,
and you,
I think they're going to be at the bottom there.
Out of the league or out of the division?
Or the division, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I'm like, dang.
Well, we're wishing he can play until he's got to play us, then he has to just be out for the game. Just
yeah,
out.
That's
if, he if, turned whatever down. The matchup is. He turned you know, down.
A, everybody leave the league, actually. Just the Bears stay, please.
I was going to say, Will's out for blood right now.
Listen, Caleb Williams, that's where I'm at right now.
He's everybody got else confident. Out. He turned down a $30 million contract. I think it was at the start of last year. Or this past season?
Yeah, cause I think so. Because they were trying to negotiate with them. They were trying at first, and you know the talks broke down. I mean, realistically, like when I think of the Bears, because I'll just quickly say, if Vikings at the bottom of the totem pole, I'm curious to see if Detroit could actually replicate that same success, because it's tough to do sometimes, especially I think for a team that's new to this winning culture. Because if you look at them. They lost a couple of guys in free agency. Like, I don't think they did anything to get better. Not that they necessarily had to. The Packers, they made a couple of good signings on defense.
Josh Jacobs.
I feel like I know he's younger and has less carries than Aaron Jones, but at the same time, I feel like that's just musical chairs at the running back position. Yeah. Okay, we got younger, but I don't really know if Josh Jacobs is really better than Aaron Jones or by how much.
I mean, health-wise.
Yeah, so that, again, yeah, with being younger and less carries, that does help, but I don't think that's what elevates them to the next level. But again, the Packers are known for drafting more than free agency, so, and again, Matt LaFleur, the best coach in the division, one of the best coaches in the league, that alone obviously has proven that that's all they need to be successful, and the reason why they have a 10, currently the longest winning streak against any team in the NFL against the Bears, by the way, at 10 right now. I saw that graphic the other day and I threw up a little bit, but I mean, what do you guys think's realistic in terms of the amount of wins for the Bears next year with this improved offense? Do they exceed 7 wins next year? Do you think they should get 10 wins and vie for a playoff spot? Or are you willing to still be at ease because they're bringing in a rookie quarterback?
Well, I think about the Lions too. I think it's hard to replicate because they're going to have like a playoff, a number, because they won the NFC North. So they're going to get that schedule, that first place schedule. So they're going to get maybe a tougher schedule they haven't seen in a long time since they haven't had those winning seasons, like you noted. So I think it would be hard for them to replicate. And I think the Bears can jump them. With that being said, they should get. I think 10 wins is the bare minimum for the Bears. And I think they need to get that on many levels in terms of to prove that this offseason wasn't a waste, to prove that trading Justin Fields was the right decision. And for Ryan, or I guess to prove that Ryan Poles knows how to build a team and knows what success looks like. So I think 10 is the ceiling, I'd say. Realistically, I see us getting 8 wins is like the lowest bar.
This team, it's so hard to predict like a win total, because here's the thing. Realistically, the ceiling is really kind of up in the air, because if Caleb Williams is what he's supposed to be, theoretically, the ceiling could be like 13 wins. Like, you know, I could actually see that if we put everything together offensively. Now, a realistic guess for me, I was trying to say when I was talking to you, I was saying if I worked for Vegas, I'd probably set the line at 7.5.
Oh yeah,
because what we had seven one. Wins last year. So basically, you're either saying like we're going to be better than last year or the same or worse. I personally think if I had to guess, I'd go with you, Jared. I'd probably say 8, maybe 9. Like, I think there's going to be a really close game that we either win or lose that'll decide whether it's 8 or 9 wins. But like I said, man, the ceiling, if things go according to plan, the ceiling could be like 13. But with me being a Bears fan, I'm no longer really much of an optimist. So I'd stick more around probably 8 wins.
I mean, have you guys seen who we're facing against next year?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring
it
up.
The AFC South and the NFC West.
There's some pretty winnable games there.
Commanders, Patriots, and Panthers as well.
I mean, we're playing some pretty bad teams, but we're also obviously playing some pretty good teams.
Yeah, I mean, we get the Lions twice a year. We have the Packers twice a year. If Caleb Williams sweeps the Packers, he will be deemed the King of Chicago right away.
Honestly, yeah, I think I'll eat my words if Caleb Williams beats the Packers twice.
I mean, we don't have to go to the playoffs or win the Super Bowl next year. If we just, I was actually joking around with a coworker of mine today at work. We were talking about the trade and everything, and he's a Packers fan. I told him, I said, look, if we just beat you guys once next year, that's a successful season for me. That's a freaking, I'm so desperate to beat Green Bay that if that's our major accomplishment next year, and you know, it actually, you know, I know that sounds cheesy in a way, pun intended, but like,
nice.
You have to, I mean, that's the baby steps of like you build the team, you start beating and competing against your division rivals, because obviously that's who you got to beat to get a playoff spot, to get a bunch of wins. And, you know, your hope is to win the division. And that's your easiest guaranteed way to get into the playoffs, being the King of the North. And then you start working on winning playoff games and being clutch and making sure that you have everything, you know, and then you determine, okay, is this the right coaching staff? What's a hole on the team that we have to work on? Like, hopefully with getting the way this offense has been built and, you know, shoring up the depth on the defensive side of things, getting Caleb and then getting into this next season and seeing what happens, that should hopefully, we should start slowly climbing up the ladder. I'll give like more full on predictions when we get closer to the summer, once the draft is done and we, you know, see how things go once this team is actually formed for training camp. But I see improvement next year. I don't know how much. I'm going to be playing it safe and say 8 or 9 wins, because a lot of it's going to rely on Caleb being good or not. The schedule, I was worried about it. Yeah, Skyler, last time we talked about the schedule, I was like, I'm worried about, you know, the Rams and Seattle and Jacksonville. Like, they're not, some of these teams are not elite, but I think they are good enough to beat us, or they're built, a couple teams are built better than us. But actually looking at it and realizing, well, hey, it's not, you know, they're not playing the Chiefs, and
we play the 49ers, you know,
that's a little bit scary. But there's not many teams on the level of like Kansas City or San Francisco. If anything, the big challenge will come from the division. Yeah. You know, if you find a way to go 4-2, 3-3 at, you know, the least, the you can't go under 3-3, otherwise it's probably going to be a lost season. But if you could go 500 or 4-2, that will help them get into the playoffs. But I'll say 8 or 9 wins.
And think about it, we get a Shane Waldron revenge game against the Seahawks. Seattle. So that's a guaranteed win right there, baby.
hopefully. So yeah, that's
I'm so excited.
We're gonna see Sam Howell. We're gonna see Sam Howell play in that game.
Like, so I said, man, as long as we're throwing the ball down the damn field and not running these dumb screen plays every other play, I just want a real offense. That's all I want. As Bears fans, that's all we can ask for. It's like,
and Shane Waldron will bring that to us. I'm so excited.
Sounds like he's creative. Like, his offense is filled with creativity with motion sets. Again, I've always said that, I've always believed in having two good tight ends, you know. I don't celebrate Aaron Hernandez for obvious reasons, but like on the football field, Gronk and Hernandez, I mean, Tom Brady was eating. Tom Brady was using his tight ends more than his wide receivers half the time during those couple of seasons when those guys were there. So like, again, as many weapons as you need. What I'm happy about the most, as we begin to wrap up our final thoughts here, what I'm happy most about the offseason so far is Ryan Poles is doing what I wanted him to do. in terms of regardless. And I said this to you guys a million times on the other podcast.
About this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of who the quarterback is, we could sit here day and night, the fight till the death, the bloody end on the battlefield about Caleb Williams. This is almost as heated as politics right now with the way the Bears fandom has been with this. Regardless who the quarterback is, set them up for freaking success. You can't have the lack of talent that they had built around Fields the last couple of years and arguably even Trubisky after 2018 for a little bit. You have to have what they have now. Multiple tight ends, multiple wide receivers, a running back where all of those guys are skilled, could fill in a specific role on what to do on that offense. So again, right now it's down to the quarterback. We didn't talk a lot about offensive linemen. They didn't make a big sexy signing, but I like the acquisitions. I like the low key nice signings. Yeah. Even that trade. I know the they center. Coughed up a lot of draft picks lately with trades, but like bringing in that guy from Buffalo, he lost out on his starting job out there. But when you look at his statistics, when he played, hardly gave up any sacks, hardly gave up any quarterback pressures. That line will be better. And if somebody sucks, there's plenty of depth. They're going to pull this guy out. They're going to put him at tackle and maybe move that guy the guard. I think they're not messing around on offense this finally. And this is why I'm excited for it.
And they don't. And like I said earlier, this is like Ryan Poles' career on the line. He needs Caleb Williams to work out, so he's going to do everything he can to set him up for success, which Ryan Pace should have done. Okay. No.
I understand.
We don't talk about the other Ryan.
Oh, yeah. And also,
hey, how about those fifth round draft picks that worked out, though? Apparently, he could draft defensive backs in the fourth and fifth round.
That really helped us. That helped us win a playoff game, didn't it?
I still got their autographs, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's from that one time.
Oh, my God. Burn it.
Oh, man. Yeah, Jared and I went to the Bears 100-year convention up in Rosemont, and we went every single day.
I can't believe that I was jealous. Looking back, it's so funny I was jealous about that. And now it's like, wow, you guys wasted all your time.
For real.
Yeah, I got that football somewhere, and I'm like, this is, I could actually care less if it disintegrated in thin air. I am not proud of any signings on that thing. Maybe Kyle Long was kind of cool on there. There's a lot of things I'd like to say to George, actually. George, let me write my thoughts on a ball and give it to you.
I'm sure he definitely cares.
He does. He's not busy trying to get a stadium or anything like that, which that's a podcast that's for another day, but that whole stadium thing definitely got a lot more interesting recently. And also self plug to the previous podcast. There is a podcast where we did have that discussion talking about the stadium and just even giving our thoughts reviewing Soldier Field. So be sure to check that out too. But any final thoughts from you guys before we close up shop? Any final bits to the obituary for Justin Fields in a Bears uniform, anything like that?
Justin, we miss you. I miss you. I don't know. Will probably doesn't, but best of luck to you in Pittsburgh. Caleb Williams, I want you to be the guy. I really hope you are. And I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it with positive vibes. I'll leave the negativity in the earlier part of this podcast and just say, Caleb, I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Justin, for all you've done.
Everybody salute your Justin Fields flag.
Salute the flag.
Giving me hope that we can have a franchise quarterback.
And real talk, I will say that Justin at times got the short end of the stick. And to me, it's nothing against him. It just comes down to business. I like the guy. I have no beef with him as a person. As a player, I mean, there's some critiques there, obviously, why I was in support of him getting moved and the Bears moving on. But like, look, I got nothing but respect for a guy that, he easily could have. And we'll see if he says more now that he's not part of this organization. But I mean, he could have went on podcasts and done things to trash this team. And he's kind of a quiet dude, but that's fine. He's being professional.
About the coaches that one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to be fair, at that point in the season, they were sucking and. It's obviously not all on him, but I think, like I said, the way the stars aligned, unfortunately, it turned into a situation that didn't work out for Justin. But Skyler, Jared, thank you guys for coming on. This was a fun discussion. I know we had different opinions and stuff, but this was a hearty and fun debate, and you guys always have a place on this podcast. So we'll be talking again in the future. So thank you guys.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, and yes, go Bears. It's a sad. It'll be a sad
year. Baby.
Bear down.
But I'll be watching.
Caleb, Keenan you Allen. Are a bear. Jared, I got to use your quote from your texting. Caleb, you are a Chicago Bear. Let's go.
Keenan Thanks Allen, everybody. You are a Chicago Bear.
Thanks everybody for listening to the podcast. Share it with your friends, family, any other Bears fans out there. Check out the other content for other Chicago sports teams and talk out there. And of course, leave reviews. 5-star reviews, write some reviews, you know, any support like that helps get the attention out there to more people. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you on the next one. Go Bears and go Caleb Williams.
That's going to do it for Windy City Sports Talk, the podcast with Will Hatzel. Please share the podcast with neighbors and friends and make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. While you're at it, please give us a 5-star rating and share your feelings about the podcast by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to the show. Thanks again for listening to Windy City Sports, the podcast. See you next time.